Now that you've been out of Washington for about a month or so, curious if you've had time to reflect on your service and what stands out from your time in our nation's capital.
Yeah, you know, it was an amazing honor to serve in Congress. I think the big thing as I look back on Congress to try to give folks some context of what it's really like, you know, there's two clubs in Congress, and it's not Democrats and Republicans. It's the folks who are in safe seats versus the ones who are in competitive battleground seats where you have to work across the aisle and, you know, build bridges to get things done. The New York Times just did this analysis, and I want to throw out some stats, which, by the way, I think are a little more accurate than your leadoff walk stats. I think 100% may be a little off for leadoff walks. But what they did is they looked at every single seat for Congress, every single seat for the state legislatures in all 50 states. So that's 5,465 state legislative seats. And they found that only 8% of the congressional seats and just 7% of the state legislative seats are competitive. The other, you know, 90% plus are virtually guaranteed to go to whoever wins the Democratic primary or the Republican primary. So that divide was really what colored my time in Congress. We're getting fewer and fewer of the folks who are in seats like the one that I won that were 50-50, you know, competitive seats. And it's, you have people who are just incentivized to play to the far left or the far right because they're guaranteed to come back to Washington as long as they win their Democratic primary or the Republican primary. That's the thing that I think was my biggest reflection of what it was really like to serve.
Was there one or two items that you were able to accomplish for your district that you were most proud of?
Yeah, you know, we brought back a ton of money for the district, for transportation, for affordable housing. We did a number of bipartisan bills that brought more access to capital so people can go, you know, become an entrepreneur, start a small business, you know, make their mortgages more affordable, especially in rural areas. Did a ton of work on fair maps. As you know, I authored a bill that would get nonpartisan independent redistricting every state in the country. Those are the things that we spent a lot of time working on.
You've talked about a possible run for the Senate in 2026. Before we get to the 2026 campaign, what are some of the things that are keeping you busy these days, Congressman?
You know, it's great to be back home. We're trying to figure out the next steps. And looking at a ton of options, we've got a lot of possible things we can do. But what I think is important is that Democrats pick up this Senate seat because the leadership we're seeing from Tom Tillis is not helping anyone right now. And it's important that we make sure that North Carolina sends a Democrat to the U.S. Senate in the next election.
How would you assess the first couple weeks of the Trump administration? And has there been anything that surprised you thus far?
I mean, I guess my surprise is that it's worse than I thought it would be. I mean, it's just been an unmitigated dumpster fire in the last few days, and it's having a huge impact on our state. You know, we're talking about the state of North Carolina, counties, municipalities. They are relying and counting on money that's been allocated to them for roads, bridges, water and sewer, and Trump's paused all that funding. This is grant funding that does stuff like help people research, you know, cancer. And that's all come to a stop. The taxpayers deserve so much more than the chaos and confusion we're seeing. And it's certainly not bipartisan. This is far right extremism that we're seeing out of the Trump administration. And I'm going to continue speaking up every chance I get.
What about the Senate confirmation process? What are your thoughts on some of the nominees that have been confirmed and then the other nominees that are beginning their confirmation process this week?
I mean, just so disappointing how this has all gone down. Typically, presidents, you know, are putting up nominees for these positions with decades of experience and qualifications. You know, just you know, as one example, the Secretary of Defense choice with Pete Hegseth. Every Secretary of Defense going back, you know, decades, has gotten tremendous bipartisan support. You know, you got 980, 90, 100 votes in the Senate for qualified folks to lead the Department of Defense. In this case, it was a 50-50 tie with three Republican senators voting no against Trump and Pete Hegseth, and J.D. Vance had to break the tie. And our own Tom Tillis was the difference in that, allowing someone who's just totally unqualified to lead the Department of Defense to be our next Secretary of Defense. We need someone who's going to serve our troops, who's going to be a Secretary of Defense for everybody, And instead, we got someone who's totally going to be loyal to Donald Trump. And that doesn't help. That doesn't help our military families in North Carolina.
Visiting with former 13th District Congressman Wiley Nickel, given the slim majority for the GOP in the House, do you expect there to be more work accomplished or more bipartisanship in this 119th Congress than the one that you served in?
Yeah, if I were betting on it, I would bet that they're not going to get as much done as folks think. It's an incredibly narrow majority, and you know the Republicans really are at war with each other in the House. They have for the next few months basically a one seat majority. So somebody misses a flight, you know, a vote could go down. You know, and a tie means that the bill dies. So you know, it's an incredibly slim majority. I think it's going to be difficult for Republicans to get on the same page. So, you know, it's in the ball's in their court. They have a majority in Congress. You know, it's just a three-seat majority, which, you know, by the way, was the difference in North Carolina with the seats that they gerrymandered, mine and two others, would have been the difference with Hakeem Jeffries being Speaker. So another kind of, you know, way to look at gerrymandering. But, I think it's going to be tough for them to get much done. And my hope is that they'll follow the lessons that we showed in this last Congress. You know, if you want to get things done, you got to work with Democrats in a bipartisan way. And we did that over and over on my side, whether it was the debt ceiling or the budget or continuing resolutions, funding for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. You know, those are all the big things we did in the last Congress were things that we did in a bipartisan way. There was nothing that happened, you know, along purely political partisan lines.
Congressman, go ahead, sorry.
That's my hope for this one.
Congressman, as I let you go, thoughts on the Carolina-Duke game coming up Saturday night?
You know, we're super excited. My wife went to Carolina. She has her annual Beat Duke party with all of her cousins, and so that's an annual thing for us. But it's going to be a great game. I'm just super excited to watch it.
Former North Carolina 13th District Congressman Wiley Nickel. Congressman, thanks for the time as always. Look forward to visiting on a number of other topics sometime in the very near future.
Great to be with you.